News with Nick. It's episode for June 30th, 2022. It's the end of the first half of 2022, the worst possible year that has ever happened. Everything's broken. We have record high inflation. Nobody can afford gas. Everyone wants $15 an hour. And it's not going to matter because all the money's been doubled, right? Anything that was anything is now double what it was. So if you were making seven, now you're making 15. Everything else just moves up, which kind of makes sense, right? You increase the price of doing business by paying more people and everything just goes up anyway. Is that why everything's gone up, or is it Putin or what? Who knows, right? But everything's a mess and nothing's fun. How high can inflation go before you're like, okay, we need to do something about our dollars? Like, way back, I don't know how far dollars go back, but probably all the way back to George Washington, because he was like, okay, who are we going to put on this one? All right, me, I'll go on this one. And then, hey, guy with the kite and the electricity, you go on the 100, right? Don't really know the history of dollars, which I've never really thought about. Like, if we came over here from the British, and then in 1776, we were like, we're our own country, we're going to make dollars. Did they make dollars then? Like, okay, now that we're a country, we're making dollars instead of Britishes. That's funny. I mean, I'm sure there's a very simple answer, but I actually don't know it. That's really weird that I've never thought of this before. Anyway, I don't know the history of dollars, but at some point they decided that the $100 bill was going to be the biggest bill that you could carry around and you would go to the poker table with. Well, $100 back then pretty much bought you a house. So nowadays, $100 is basically like $1. So when are they going to come up with when are they going to let us have a bigger dollar, a bigger bill? Or should we just get rid of the dollar, right, and switch to some other currency like the clam or something? And then you have to divide every dollar gets divided by 100 so that we're back to where we started. Because otherwise, the number is just going to keep going up and up. It's like, okay, I got to go to the grocery store. It cost me $5 million. That's obviously not going to be for a couple of years, but when it is, it's going to be really annoying. Like, you're going to have to count digits in your bank account to be like, okay, do I have enough for groceries today or what? Anyway. All right, we got a lot to get to. Thanks for coming to the June show. I've officially made it in before the cutoff, so I've only missed 1 month this year, I think, where a show didn't occur in the calendar year. What were we going to say? Oh, head on over to the website, newswithnick.com, if you want to see the video version of the show, the unedited video version as it's recorded live and going out on the YouTube. So let's see. Oh, type your phone number on the website and you'll get text updates when there's a new show that comes out. I think that still works. I'll test it later today, but pretty sure my Amazon account is still active. All right, let's jump into the news. I haven't really done much reading of the news. I've only pretty much read the headlines and added it to the show notes. Raging Airbnb host terrifies guest after moldy sandwich complaint. I thought we'd start off light with a funny story about a lady. A woman has documented the moment, and by the way, it's by the New York Post, so you know it's going to be real hard-hitting news. A woman has documented the moment her Airbnb host reportedly kicked her out of the property because she complained about a moldy sandwich in the trash. Kirsten Eardsley, 39, booked a two-night stay for a business trip in Los Angeles earlier in the year. Unfortunately, the stay was cut short after the host allegedly stormed in, screaming at her over complaints she apparently had with the property, including unclean surfaces. Don't complain to your Airbnb host. I've checked into an Airbnb, and there's been literally chicken wings in the house. And I'm just like, oh, well, what am I going to do? In the video taken by Eardley, and shared with her Southwest News Service, I should have gotten the news from this guy. The host can be seen entering the property and telling her to get out before collecting her belongings and trying to physically force her out the door. Eardley said she allegedly hid her laptop as well. The owner hid the guest's laptop? She started taking my things and throwing them outside. She took my work notebook, ripped it up, and threw the papers out. Oh, man. All right. So let's... here's some photos. She was disgusted with what she reportedly found in her Airbnb. Okay, it's a used Subway wrapper, some dust, and more dust. Just a little bit of dust. Whatever. All right. So let's watch the video. See if the Airbnb host has a point.
Crazy photos of...
Get out!
I'm filming this to send to Airbnb.
Go ahead.
Don't touch my computer. Don't touch my things. Holy...
Bear! Get away from my computer!
Don't touch my things. Holy...
Get out of my apartment.
Oh, my God!
Get out of my apartment!
Oh, my God!
Crazy woman!
Airbnb, this is what I'm dealing with. I'm packing up my stuff right now. I'm filming this all. I cannot believe this is happening. I'm packing up and leaving. Thank you.
And that is scary.
Talking about what you're saying. Where is my laptop?
Some people really don't like conflict. And imagine, although if you don't like conflict, don't complain about dust in your Airbnb. But still, imagine this stranger comes in and just starts yelling at you.
Talking about what you're saying. Where is my laptop? What did you do with it? Give it.
That's where it cuts off. Oh, wait, that's not where it cuts off. Is that where my internet cuts off? Hello? Internet? Are you still there? All right. How is things going? Last show I had a little bit of a time. Things aren't the funnest in the earth. Ever since then, I've lost way more money, right? Don't look at the markets. It's just how it is. We're going to have to, like I said, divide all of our money by 100 and then just go with that. I did have to get a new phone, right? So my phone I've had for a couple of years and it just stopped. This touch screen stopped working. It was one too many drops. I drop it approximately 3 times a day. So I guess there were a couple too many drops and half the screen stopped working from touch screen. So in order to accomplish anything on the phone, I had to turn on rotate. And then if there was a button that was on one half of the screen that I needed to get at, I needed to rotate the screen in that orientation so that it would flip and I could get to the button. It was really annoying. Anyway, so I need a new phone. Whenever I get a new phone, I've always gone into the store and talked to a guy and ordered a phone off their shelf and sat there for a literal hour while they set up my account. Like, how long could it possibly take to switch my phone over, right? And so I'm like, okay, this time I'm just going to do it on the internet like a normal person would. Like, order your phone and it comes. So I go on the internet and I'm shopping for phones, and phones are funny expensive right now. And not right now, but like in general, like $800 for this thing I have to carry around. I just want a phone. I don't need it to do anything crazy. Not a photographer, so I don't have any clue what a camera is. But all these phones have 3 or 4 of them, right? Crazy. Point is, so I go online and I start scrolling for phones, and I've always gotten Samsung, but I was looking and I was like, oh, I'll try out a Pixel maybe. That seems cool. It's a little bit cheaper and it has all the features. So I ordered a Google Pixel 6, right? And then I ordered the Google Pixel 6 case from Amazon because I'm going to need that. But then the next day, so even though US Cellular took my order, they email me and they say, actually, the Google Pixel 6 is out of stock and we're not getting it. We don't know when we're getting it, so you better call customer service. I'm like, well, so now I've lost money on this Google Pixel 6 case because that's useless. So if anyone wants one of those, write into the show. And so now I got a call. It says call US Cellular to fix your order. So now I have to call them. Unbelievable. So I called them. I'm like, guys, I need to fix my order, I guess. The email said I need to fix my order. So what do I do, lady? She's like, oh, yeah. So we could give you the Google Pixel 6 Plus. That's in stock. I'm like, well, that's enormous. So we're talking and she's like listing me the other phones. And I'm like, well, I picked the Pixel because it was cheaper. I'm kind of picking on price at this point because I'm very poor. And she's like, oh, I understand. So actually, you have a bonus here for an $800 phone. I'm like, excuse me, what did you just say? This makes no sense to me. I've never heard of this in my life. She said, oh, yeah, so we have a program that if you upgrade your line for $5 a month, then from $70 to $75 a month, which, by the way, that's insane to pay for cell service. I think I'm getting scammed. Then we'll give you an $800 credit on a phone. So I bust out my calculator and go 36 times 5. Well, that's only $180, right? So $5 more a month for 3 years. And I'm like, you'll give me an $800 credit on a new phone if I up my thing from 70 to 75. She's like, yeah. I'm like, well, this doesn't show in my account at all. She's like, no, it doesn't. It's just in my computer. I'm like, okay, what do you mean it's just in your computer? She's like, well, we just give this to people sometimes. Like, we put a note in their account if they've been like a good customer and they get $800 credit on a new phone. I'm like, what? This makes no sense. I pretty much was going to pay you full price for a Pixel and now you're saying I can get a free phone? She's like, yep. And so here's how it works. You order the phone, we charge you the full price per the month of the phone. And then we credit you back the $20 or whatever. So it's back down to free. So over the length of the contract, you get it for free. Okay. Well, let's do that. So we finish the order. And I go, hey, by the way, remember when you said you were going to charge me and then credit me back? So is there anything in writing that says this is going to happen? She's like, nope. Huh? Like, you can't email me the contract. You can't email me the note that says I have an $800 credit. She's like, nope. I'm like, send me a screenshot of the note on my account. She's like, can't do that. I was like, if this was happening anywhere, this is a scam, 100%. Someone just saying randomly, here, you have $800 if you just sign this piece of paper. Oh, well, I signed it. So I actually don't know. This was like a month ago. I am not 100% sure how much I'm paying for my cell phone or if I'm getting the credit back. But I got good behavior on it. Is this just one of those situations where the customer service person is like, I guess we can edit some numbers in here just because she liked me? I don't know. All right, let's move on. And I haven't really been paying attention to this, but apparently January 6th is in the news 24/7. Seven takeaways from Tuesday's shocking January 6th hearing. Trump and his chief of staff were warned about violence, including armed attendees of the rally. Let's see if there's any info in this video. January 6th. It's not loading.
Here is the president's motorcade leaving the Ellipse after his speech on January 6th.
This is just a video. Silent video.
When you returned to the White House in the motorcade after the president's speech, where did you go?
When I returned to the White House, I walked upstairs towards the chief of staff's office, and I noticed
boring.
Mr. Renato lingering.
The House Select Committee investigating the January 6, 2021 Capitol Hill insurrection reconvened on Tuesday for a hastily scheduled hearing featuring blockbuster testimony from White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson. Hutchinson has cooperated extensively with the investigation, having sat for 4 closed-door depositions. She revealed how President Donald Trump and his inner circle were warned about the potential for violence on January 6, how Trump wanted to join the throngs of his supporters at the U.S. Capitol. Why didn't they let him? That would have been the funniest. The testimony bolstered the narrative that the committee has been driving toward over the last few weeks, that Trump incited and supported the insurrection as part of a desperate power grab to steal a second term, and that many of his top advisors thought his schemes were illegal. Here are the takeaways from Hutchinson's blah, blah, blah. Trump intended to go to the Capitol and pushed to do so until the last minute. The Select Committee effectively proved as much on Tuesday by featuring a mix of damning witness. That's a bad word. damning witness testimony in White House records that showed Trump intended to join his supporters at the Capitol and was pushing to do so just minutes before the violence began to escalate. It was previously known that Trump wanted to go to the Capitol, but Hutchinson's testimony established for the first time that people around Trump had advanced knowledge of his plan. The reality of Trump's intentions became clear to national security officials in real time as they learned the Secret Service was scrambling to find a way for the former president to travel to the Capitol while he was on stage urging his followers to march. What? Is that their job? Like, okay, guys, Trump wants to go to the Capitol, so I guess we're going. According to National Security Council chat logs from that day that were revealed for the first time during Tuesday's hearing, the chat logs provided a minute-by-minute accounting of how the situation evolved from the perspective of the of White House national security officials, along with the witness testimony delivered Tuesday. Moguls going to the Capitol, they're clearing a route now. Mogul? M-O-G-U-L. My orange gorilla uncle lad. A message sent to the chat log at 12:29 p.m., referring to the former president's Secret Service code name. Oh. So it could literally stand for that. It's just a code name. Millade has confirmed that he wants to talk. A 12:32 message says they are begging him to reconsider. So this is happening, a message sent at 12:47 states. Aide recounts secondhand incident where Trump reached for the steering wheel. This is crazy. Maybe January 6th was a lot more impressive than we originally expected. We thought it was just people walking in the building and carrying a podium around and waving a flag. And then the government finally came in and said, okay, get out. We're going to finish voting. Maybe there really was a plan, which is a little more impressive than what originally happened, which is most people just walked in and did a tour. But I'm not sure. I guess I should do more research on this and watch an unbiased documentary. That's impossible. Students in Alaska drank floor sealant, believing it was milk. I guess I ruined the punchline. Students at an elementary school in Alaska complained Tuesday morning about bad-tasting milk that burned their mouths and throats. The staff quickly realized the students had been accidentally served floor sealant. The students ingested the floor sealant during breakfast, according to the Juneau School District. One child was treated at the Bartlett Regional Hospital, and two others were picked up from school and may have sought medical attention. The students, all who were participating in the school's Relationships and Leadership Learning for Youth program, were served what they believed was milk by the NANA Management Services, the Alaska-based Food Services Corporation, blah, 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 who cares who they are. Not long after the students spoke up about the foul-tasting substance, the staff checked the container it came from, realized the children had been served floor sealant, and contacted poison control. Parents are mad! 12 children and two adults drank sealant. Donna Baldwin, some of the students were back in school on Wednesday, but not Donna Baldwin's grandson. She said that when she picked up the 8-year-old boy on Tuesday, he burst into tears and asked if he was going to die. He told her the milk burned his throat, that his stomach hurt, and he was dizzy. She took him to the emergency department. She says they checked his oxygen levels, which were normal, but he's still dizzy and nauseated a day later. Baldwin says she wants to be sure there's no permanent damage, so she's taking him to Seattle Children's Hospital. She's one of several parents who told KTOO they felt that calls from the school came much too late. She says the school could have notified families immediately after the incident, not hours later. The more I process, the madder that I get that it was not immediately taken care of. If I was not there, I would have called medical right away. If I was not there, I would have called medical right away? How would you have done that if you... Oh, if I was there. I'm literally blind. This was minimized and it's not okay. The superintendent says the reason it took so long to contact parents was that staff prioritized making sure the kids were safe. Yes. Hello, Grandma. Just so you know, your child has been poisoned. Hello? Are you calling an ambulance? No, we just wanted to let you know first, and now we'll be calling the ambulance. Floor sealant. Apparently it's not that dangerous to drink floor sealant because tons of people drank it. I feel like that would be like one of the major things you wouldn't want to drink is anything with the word sealing, sealant or glue or whatever in the name. Because I think, like, couldn't your intestines just turn to a solid cylinder or whatever? Well, guys, it's been a little bit sad that I haven't done shows or haven't been able to just jump on it in a whim. Because there's been so many shootings. There's been like just shooting after shooting, right? And so the first one we had was on May 14th, 2022. Mass shooting occurred in Buffalo, New York at a Tops Friendly Market store. 10 black people were killed and 3 others were injured. The shooter live streamed part of the attack on Twitch, but then the live stream was shut down. I say, you gotta find a service that's a little more understanding of your cause, right? So we had this guy, he decided, okay, I really don't like black people, so I'm going to head on over to a supermarket and I'm going to shoot them all. So this was huge news for like 10 days. And he wrote a manifesto. It's pretty hard to find. It's not published in very many places. The manifesto's document name is called Yeah.docx. The top says, wait for a signal while your people wait for you. What you need to know, if there's one thing I want you to get from these writings, it's that white birth rates must change. Every day, the white population becomes fewer in number. To maintain a population, the people must achieve a birth rate that reaches replacement fertility levels. In the Western world, that is about 2.06 births per woman. The only white country that reaches these levels is Argentina. But not in Europe, not in the rest of Americans, not in Australia or New Zealand. White people are failing to reproduce, failing to create families, failing to have children. But despite the sub-replacement fertility rate, the population in the West is increasing rapidly. How is this possible? Mass immigration and the higher fertility rates of the immigrants themselves are causing this increase in population. We are experiencing an invasion on a level never before seen in history. Millions of people pouring across our borders legally, invited by the state and corporate entities to replace the white people who have failed to reproduce, failed to create the cheap labor, failed to create new consumers and tax, blah, 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 blah. All right. This is 180 pages long. And the first section is an FAQ. Questions and answers. Are you a part of any political group or movement? I'm not a direct member of any organization or group, though I support many. Do the groups you support are aligned with order or promote your attack? No, I am the sole perpetrator of the attack. I've had many influences from others, but it was only me who decided to continue this. Do you believe those you attacked were innocent? There is no non-white living on white lands that is innocent. Do you intend to survive the attack? Yes, but death was a definite possibility. Wait a minute. Hang on. The question is, did you intend to survive the attack? It says, yes, but death was a definite possibility. So he's writing in the past tense, before the attack, unless he went back in time, wrote this manifesto and then left it for us to look like it happened before. These situations are chaotic and virtually impossible to control, no matter the planning. Survival was a better alternative to death in order to forever further spread my ideals by media coverage and to deplete resources from the state by my own imprisonment. Okay, so did this guy survive? 2:36 p.m., the shooter had gone to the front of the building where patrol officers were able to talk him into dropping his gun after he reportedly aimed it at his neck. After his arrest, the suspect made disturbing statements regarding his motive and state of mind. It's always confusing to me when they get a shooter alive. Like, okay, there's a shooting. Okay, there he is. He's got the gun. Most cops would just shoot him. Now, the internet would have us believe that it's because the shooter's white that the cops go, okay, don't shoot. He's white. Just let's see if we can get him alive. And, you know, maybe they're right. All right, back over to docx. You should read his FAQ. And then he has a whole section about titled, let's see, what's it titled? about blacks. When referring to blacks, I refer to those who are descendants of ethnic Africans, blah, blah, blah. Okay. And then he has a whole lot of charts from Excel in here about different, you know, breakdowns of racial intelligence, crime rates, things like that, right? So that's pages and pages of stuff about race. Keep scrolling. And then they're starting at about page like 50, all the way, probably 60, all the way to the end, is pretty much just about guns. And I think that this is one of the reasons that this manifesto is a little hard to find, is that it was published as a how-to. Like, is this even legal for me to have? Is this even legal for you to hear? He's got a little bit of a plan here. So here's the plan. At home, I will pick up all of my gear and put it into an industrial trash bag. Then I will put this bag in a laundry basket and place this on the floor of my passenger seat. I will put the three guns, two of them have carriers, behind my seat with a blanket over them to cover it from outsiders. I will also have Discord on at my house running live recording of my Twitch account. I eat a large portion of corned beef hash for breakfast. I will leave the house at 7:30 and travel to Buffalo in regular clothing. Should arrive just before noon. At 12 o'clock, I will go inside the store for the second to last time to make sure everything is as expected. Ooh. I will follow my planned course of action to make sure I know exactly where to go in between 12 and 2:45. I will also get some food at McDonald's. At 3:30, I will park in the designated gear up spot off of Sherman Street and fully gear up. I will take my three guns out of their carriers and put them in the passenger seat of my car. I chamber the shotguns and add another in the magazine tube. The magazine tube? I do the same to the Savage Axis. Both of these guns will have the safety engaged, and I may change up the location I gear up if I determine it is too risky. At 3:50, I will publish my 8chan post on 8chan.mo, 4chan post on 4chan linked to 8chan post, send links to the Discord servers I am in, and send links to all the people in my Discord friend list. After I'm done posting, I will take the XM15 and properly wear the sling and place the gun to the left of my legs. I insert a couple... This guy is writing, fantasy. Like, he's had just having fun. At 3:55, I will start the live stream and make it onto Sherman Street. I will take a right into High Street and right onto Johnson Street, blah, 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 blah. At about 4 o'clock, I park in the front of the store right before the support beam, kick open the door, and jump out of my car. In training, this full action took between 2 or 3 seconds. I first shoot the security guard and kill him by shooting through the front doors of the glass. His most common areas are located in the garage, located in orange. Wow. Oh, my God. He has a chart here that shows where the guards are, like in Payday 2. There is an overhand based on the camera position. I should be in the camera's blind spot. He should just be at the entrance of the store. I make it to the other side of the aisles and continue firing on all blacks. I go into the customers only area and check for runners and hiders and make it to the deli and then back to the entrance. I shoot down all blacks twice in the head, making my way to the register and aisles again. Oh, okay. I should be leaving at about 4:04. I will then go to my car and make it south on Jefferson Ave, where I will take my Mossberg 500 and Savage Axis out of the backseat and shoot at blacks on the streets. If all is expected, I should pass some responding patrol officers at this time. You know, that's what Aaron Roof thought, too. And then he peeked out the window and there was no one there. And he's like, what? What are these guys doing? I pass the House of China and start making my way across the neighborhoods using all the weapons I have available to shoot at nearby blacks. I should be stopped by police officers eventually, and then I will surrender to them. Or if I find another decent location the day of the attack, I'll head there. For example, Walmart. Oh, no. And then he writes in third person, which is why this is written kind of as a guide. More importantly, the attacker must go through with the attack in their mind. It is very difficult for a normal person, even with all the information, to carry out an attack that will kill another human. Okay, this is a little disturbing. I feel like the police are on their way to my house right now. So that happened. But it's very interesting because he wrote that all out, but he actually started at 2:30. That's way before his scheduled time, which was like 4. That's the Buffalo shooting. That was in the news for about 10 days. And then, on May 24th, 2022, 18-year-old Salvador Ramos fatally shot 19 students and two teachers and wounded 17 other people at the Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. Before tactical units arrived, police officers inside the school, who numbered at least 19, made, quote, no effort to breach the room where Ramos was located, according to the Texas Department of Public Safety. According to the DPS, the decision to wait for tactical units to arrive was based on the false belief that Ramos had been isolated in a classroom where he could do no more harm. The decision was made by the incident commander, blah, 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 blah. Police even arrested and handcuffed one mother who drove to the school after hearing about the shooting was prevented her from trying to save her children. Okay, so the kid does a Sandy Hook, right? Goes into an elementary school with a gun. Goes into a classroom where probably the kids are hiding under the table, which is where they taught us to go. Actually, no, they didn't. We never hid under the tables. Seems like a terrible place to hide from a shooter who's just walking around like, okay, well, thanks for sitting still. It's nice of you. And so the police come in. And they stand outside the door and they go, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And this has been all over the news, right? Everyone's very mad at this guy for having shot an elementary school. And they go, okay, so this guy did a bad thing. He shot a bunch of people in an elementary school. And then the cops came and they do nothing. They essentially helped the shooter. Like, if you're pro-conspiracy and you say, okay, this was a planned thing, we're going to hype up all the news again because COVID's done, right? So we got to get people scared about something. We got to have a shooting and we got to have it real bad. But the cops there got there too soon. So they're like, no, 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 no. We have to have the shooting. That's part of the plan, right? If you subscribe to that, this fits perfectly. So anyway, the cops come and they do nothing. And the guy does a lot of murdering. And then people go on social media and go, I can't believe he did this. We have to take guns away from everyone and only police should have guns. The police who did nothing should be the only ones who have guns? Okay. All right. Moving on. We got to get through these stories. This is there's too much to talk about. Police arrest a San Antonio man who threatened to commit a mass shooting. Rodolfo Valid, some guy, he's 19, he's charged with a terroristic threat from San Antonio. He worked as a subcontractor at the Amazon delivery station. Police were called to the facility on Monday after a coworker reported that he had made some disturbing remarks. She told police that on Friday, a fire alarm went off at the Amazon facility and all the employees evacuated. Aceves, I don't know how to say this guy's names. Ace, A-C-E-V-E-S. Aceves told her that it would be a good idea to pull the fire alarm to have employees exit so a person could commit a mass shooting. Okay. And then he said he was going to commit a mass shooting. So, okay, so the fire alarm goes off at work. Y'all go outside. And he goes, you know what? This would be a great opportunity to have a mass shooting, don't you think, coworker? The witness didn't tell anyone on Friday because she said she was afraid of retaliation, but on Monday she decided to tell her superiors because she thought he was capable of following through on the threat due to other comments he's made in the past. The woman told police that Aceves considered the Uvalde shooter an idol, and after learning where her children attended school, said he would now know what school to go and shoot up? What? Why would you say that? Shooters are so dumb. The woman said she was very afraid of him. The witness said he told her in the past that he was tired of living and that he owns a handgun and a rifle that he purchased recently. His father was even brought in, told investigators that the guy has a mental illness and in the past has been placed on a mental health facility. Father said that he's prescribed medication, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So he's on a fire alarm break. He says, this would be a great time to have a mass shooting. And I also, by the way, where do your kids go to school? Because that's where I'm going to start. I don't know. Can't fire him for that. He's a good worker. We had historic flooding that closed Yellowstone National Park.
Oh, it's just moved.
Flood-swollen rivers even sweeping away buildings. This two-story bunkhouse carried nearly 5 miles downstream. Roads and bridges leading to Yellowstone National Park that weren't washed away have now been shut down indefinitely at the start of the peak summer season.
It's safe to say.
So tons of flooding at Yellowstone. And the reason I brought this up was this this video of this house. It's next to a road or no, it's next. It must be next to a river, right? I don't know what it looked like before, but it probably didn't look like this. When the video picks up, half of the ground under the house is gone and it's just on an edge. And this huge flooded river keeps going by and then the house tips in to the river and then starts floating away. But it stays pretty much intact.
That is insane. Holy.
Like the roof is still good. If someone wanted a roof. You know, if you needed a roof, hint, foreshadowing, you could just grab it off this guy. This house is still good and like use those shingles elsewhere. As horrible as this is, you can't help but wonder like what it would feel like to be in like the bedroom. Your house tips like this, but it's still intact. And then you land and then you look out the window and suddenly you're floating down the river.
That is insane. Holy.
It wouldn't be that bad. It's probably a lot more violent when you're in the house than it looks like. It looks relatively calm. Like the house just slides right into the river and now it's a houseboat. Right? Okay, this is our new home. We're just floating down the river and just don't go downstairs. It's a little wet, but the upstairs, I think the upstairs would still stay dry for a little while because it's floating like on its downstairs. You could still be upstairs like, I don't know, playing VR or something. Probably wouldn't even notice something that happened. Speaking of roofs, a family is living without a roof after theirs was removed by a contractor they never hired.
For 20 days. That's what one local family has been forced to do after theirs was removed by a contractor they never hired.
This is a nightmare. This is absolutely the worst thing I could have imagined.
The Spirit Lake family came home to most of the roof gone, all because the contractor got the address wrong. It's been nearly 3 weeks, and the wet weather we just had didn't help. The tarp wasn't strong enough to keep significant water damage out of their home.
No one's insurance has said they'll cover the cost, and the family isn't able to fork over thousands of dollars for a project they never planned for. Esther Bauer shows us what they're dealing with in this exclusive story.
So, lady gets home from work. She has no roof. And I thought this was bad when I scheduled my roof to be removed and then I had no roof and then it rained. And I'm like, oh, this is awful. This lady has no roof. She just gets home and there's no roof on her house. And she has this note. Due to miscommunication, I was given the wrong address to do some roof work. It's all handwritten. After I did some tear off, I was informed this was the wrong house. I deeply apologize for the inconvenience. Please contact DR Roofing LLC at blah, 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 so that I can repair your roof in a timely manner. I sincerely apologize. We will take responsibilities for this mistake. Thank you for your understanding.
Here you can see part of the damage inside the home. Since they don't have a roof, rain came in and they had to remove part of their floor. It's a sight no one wants to come home to.
June 1st, my daughter came home from school to find that people were removing the roof of our house.
A house now covered in tarp with no explanation except for this letter left by the contractor. It says there had been some
mistake, a very costly mistake. It should have been fixed. It just should have been fixed, but no one will do it.
DR Roofing told the family their insurance would handle it. Those claims so far, denied. This is the latest letter saying the policy issued to DR Roofing contains an exclusion for property damage arising out of an open roof condition. Here you can see water seeping in during a recent rainstorm.
Oh, that's terrifying. Oh my God, they have like 20 towels on the floor.
Very, very stressful, mainly affecting the kids' room. The kids don't want to sleep up there because the moldy smell and mildewy smell is just overwhelming for them.
And the price to fix this mess is also overwhelming. Bids from other companies to redo their metal roof are coming in over $70,000. Today, what? Jessica Hotvet is worried about her kids' health and how long they'll go living without a roof
this is
they
nuts.
Never wanted removed.
We want to be able to, you know, protect us, ourselves from the weather here, and hopefully we don't go into fall without it.
And I did reach out to the contractor who removed this roof. He told me over the phone he's working on it, but did not want to comment on this. Reporting in Spirit Lake, Esther Bauer, 4 News Now.
So the company's name is DR Roofing LLC. So you do a little Google, you find out what's going on with DR Roofing LLC. You can find their Facebook, right? And so they have a couple posts on their Facebook. For example, we offer roof repair, wind damage services. This is posted 2021, though. They haven't really posted anything recently, it doesn't look like. But underneath it, hundreds of comments. And by hundreds, I mean 15. Who should someone turn to if a contractor they didn't hire took the roof off the wrong home by mistake 3 weeks ago, resulting in more water damage? Someone else says, sure, you'll repair roof damage as long as you weren't the ones that damaged it in the first place. Someone else says, don't use your services. They don't complete work and have bad ethics. Someone else says, please do the right thing and fix their house. How do you expect anyone to contract you with you ever again? Can we please establish a protocol for your company to check in with homeowners before removing perfectly good roofs? This is crazy. This person's house is destroyed. She has no roof. No one will pay for her roof. She's going to sue. You can sue, but then what? DR Roofing LLC goes bankrupt. Said, well, sorry, I guess we're bankrupt. See ya. I don't know what happens, right? And the insurance is saying, well, yeah, you have no roof. We're not insuring the inside of your house for having no roof. We insured the whole house. Like, what does happen? I don't know. That's crazy. There's been a lot of news about these story time events, let's say, right? It's almost the end of Pride Month. Today's the last day. So if you want to get your story time in, I guess it's today. Demonstrators protest Pride story time event. Several demonstrators showed up at the Pine Valley branch of the New Hanover County Public Library during a Pride Storytime event on Tuesday, June 24th. The Pride Storytime featured two children's books, Daddy and Dada and Heather Has Two Mommies, and an activity for the children to make their own family picture frame. A New Hanover Sheriff's County said the official said the demonstrators gathered outside the library before entering a building, like a restaurant. Like an outhouse? What kind of building? A deputy was called to the library for a disturbance and says the sheriff's office supervisor stood outside the room where the story time program was taking place to keep protesters from entering. All right, kids, get in here and learn the gay stuff. We'll stand guard.
It's so terrifying that they were just able to show up in the middle of an event and come in the library like that and just walk straight back there to that room. That was very scary.
Good evening, everyone. We thank you so much for...
What if they had that lady saying that, and then they cut to just a bunch of drag queens walking? Like, oh, we did a twist. That's who she was truly talking about.
Good evening, everyone. We thank you so much for watching tonight. I'm John Evans.
I'm Francis Weller. Tonight, we begin with a story gaining a lot of attention. Members of a far-right extremist group showed up to a children's event at a county library yesterday.
The Proud Boys, designated a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center, showed up to protest, leaving some parents upset. WECT's Mara McJolton talked to families who attended that event Tuesday night. Now, Mara, a lot of people are talking about this on social media. The Proud Boys showed up because this is a Pride event we're talking about.
Yeah, that's right, John. Now,
yeah, the Proud Boys go to Pride events, right? It's in their name.
We first heard reports of a group of Proud Boys storming the building, reportedly to intimidate families involved in the Pride storytelling event. Now, law enforcement, though, they tell us a different story.
I definitely felt very unsafe, though.
A Pride Storytime event at Pine Valley Library on Tuesday started peacefully, but parents say it quickly turned chaotic and filled them with fear when a handful of Proud Boys showed up in the window of their event room.
And they're doing that on purpose, for sure, to intimidate people.
Emily Jones was inside with her one-year-old daughter. She takes her daughter to these storytime events often and was especially...
Sorry, I have yet to find out what they're doing there. All they keep saying is that Proud Boys went to the event. What if they wanted to be in on a story time? They haven't said they've done anything. They've said they entered the library.
Excited for this one, but her excitement quickly turned to panic.
But when a group of non-violent people, you know, at that point, when those people show up and they're coming into the library and trying to disrupt the story time, that's when I felt unsafe.
The New Hanover County Sheriff's Office had deputies at the event to prevent the Proud Boys from entering the room. Angie Caney was in the hallway when the Proud Boys walked in, and she says the group was loud and disruptive. But in a statement, the sheriff's office says there was no disturbance.
They were like yelling obscenities about how their tax money was being spent on pornography and drag queens. Like, there was shouting. It was loud. Like, their attempt was to intimidate and create a disruption. And that's exactly what they did.
They definitely disturbed us.
The sheriff's office added, because it's a public place, there was no need for the Proud Boys to be removed. The sheriff's office declined an on-camera interview, but did release a statement from Sheriff McMahon that reads in part, quote, "I took an oath not to uphold opinions, but to uphold the law, which is exactly what my supervisor
did." Wow, they're mad at the sheriffs because the sheriffs took the Proud Boys' side. Like, okay, they're allowed to be here, but other people were saying they were yelling obscenities and saying that tax money is being spent on drag queens. Let's see if there's another video, because this is the exact same video. I had been talking about it for weeks. I was so happy that the library was having this inclusive environment for us. It was very disappointing. I was so disappointing to see it unfold the way it did. What happened? A group of known violent people. This was her quote. "I get it's a public space, so if people are holding signs outside and they are being peaceful, even if I don't agree with things that they are saying, I don't feel necessarily like my life is in danger." Which, by the way, I didn't see a photo of a sign. I didn't see any signs. Was it really a protest? "But when a group of known violent people, you know, at that point, when those people show up and they're coming into the library and trying to disrupt the story time, that's when I felt unsafe, and that's where I felt it was not held appropriately. And they're doing that on purpose, for sure, to intimidate people." Okay, fine. So they probably were. They were holding signs that said things like, "The library is responsible for child abuse and to keep pornography out of our library." Well, I haven't seen one of the signs, so I guess that's me not doing enough research. Proud Boys Pride Story Time Protest. Let's see if we can find a sign. "Pride caused Lucifer to fall." Oh, here's one. "Drag queen story hour disrupted by men shouting slurs. Pride caused Lucifer to fall." Let's see what these say. "The public library..." Hang on. Ooh. "Copy image address? Copy image address. Paste. NHC Public Library guilty of child abuse. Stop supplying pornography to our students," it says. That's not a very big protest. But I've been in smaller, if you know what I mean. So that was on June 21st. Here's a new one. June 26th. "A man with a gun turned a children's reading book event into chaos at the Sparks Library Sunday afternoon. During a drag queen storytime event, a group of Proud Boys protested against LGBTQ+ rights outside of the library. Our News 4 and Fox 11 crews covering the reading event said that when the protest came to an end, a man wearing Proud Boys clothing approached the library carrying a gun, causing everyone, including children, to run into the library for safety. The police department monitored the protest from a distance, but left soon after." Let's see. It's a very short video, so this one maybe has more. Nope, it's just 8 seconds of a blurry protest.
"You guys These are hilarious.
It's your
opinion. The Nevada cannabis compliance.
I wanted to go back and see what sign that lady was holding, but that guy. Okay, here's a sign. Let's see. It's a very long sign. Stop sexualizing children. Shame on you for trading your kids just to look woke. Woke is broke. And there's a picture of a chicken, and it's hard to read the bottom. Like something about family values. But this guy is in a full-on bandana, and he's clearly not afraid of COVID. So, I guess protesting drag queen story time is a new thing. Maybe I need to watch an unbiased documentary on it. Get both sides of this story. Who cares? Go to gay story time if you want. Kyle Rittenhouse coming out with a new game. If you head on over to RittenhouseGame.com, this guy has apparently been contacted by like a game developer. You think Kyle Rittenhouse called around game developers and were like, hey, I'd really like to, have a cool new game on the market. No, some game developer called Kyle Rittenhouse and said, I know how to make an app game. Do you want to put your name on it? And people still love this guy, I guess. Is anyone really pro Rittenhouse? Or is he a joke and he doesn't realize it?
Self-defense case. From the very beginning, I did nothing wrong. But that didn't stop the media from smearing my name. It's time to fight back against the fake news machine.
This is why I'm
launching the Kyle Rittenhouse fake news turkey shoot video game.
Whoa, loud. So you play as Kyle Rittenhouse standing behind a bush and you try to shoot at turkeys that have fake news names on them. But the game's not even out, so you can pre-order it now for $10. RittenhouseGame.com. All right, what else do we have to go over? Oh, I guess there was some big news, right? Yeah. Forget what I was going to say about it, but the government came out with a statement and they were like, so remember that thing we said on abortion 50 years ago where it's allowed everywhere? Well, actually, we're going to change our mind and it's now not allowed everywhere, or rather, it's at least not protected by the Constitution. The Constitution does not confer a right to abortion. Roe and Casey are overruled. The authority to regulate abortion is returned to the people and to their elected representatives, the ruling says. The critical question on whether the Constitution, properly understood, confers a right to obtain an abortion. Casey's controlling opinion skipped over that question and reaffirmed Roe solely on the basis of stare decisis, basically precedent. A proper application of the precedent, however, requires an assessment of the strength of the grounds on which Roe was based. The court, therefore, turns to the question that the Casey plurality did not consider. The court reviews the standard that the court's cases have used to determine whether the 14th Amendment reference to liberty protects a particular right. The Constitution makes no express reference to a right to obtain an abortion, but several constitutional provisions have been offered as a potential homes for an implicit constitutional right. Roe held that the abortion right is part of a right to privacy that springs from these amendments, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, the court voted 6-3 that the Constitution doesn't protect getting an abortion. And now everyone's very mad. Arizona abortion protest police released tear gas. Lawmakers were held hostage in a Senate building. That beep was way louder than the rest of the protest. Law enforcement officers in Arizona used tear gas to break up a sizable group of protesters outside the state's Senate building following the Supreme Court decision. Protesters threatened to break the Arizona Senate's entryway glass. The situation escalated into a hostage situation. By the way, this is getting a little bit opinionated, editorialized, I guess the term is, on Fox News. So that's why I'm reading it this one, because it's funnier. Situation escalated into a hostage situation as lawmakers were instructed not to exit the building. They did a insurrection. Yay. That's, of course, what Fox News is saying. Look, an insurrection here. How come this one's okay? Wow, that is a lot of people. Wow, they're banging on the doors. So, unfortunately, we have a mess again. So I don't see, I mean, I guess you'd say, okay, the federal government says, oh, we're here to protect liberty, right? And then the court says, just kidding, not that liberty? I don't know. I think we, we've been my body, my choice on the other medical things. If both sides were just like, okay, actually, we agree with that, then how come they can't just be, okay, let's just do an insurrection together, right? We'll attack them both. Just kidding, police. That was just a joke. Trump is the worst, I guess, and don't attack the government buildings. Last story. No, but seriously, I don't know what to say. It's huge news. What really happened was that the Supreme Court said, not our problem. So I guess it's up to state legislatures. Like, a legislature could write a law that says this is abortion's definitely allowed. And then the pro-life people are like, well, you're killing babies. And I suppose if you think people are killing babies, then it's a very emotional issue. And if you think that you, as a pregnant person, are being forced to not get a certain medical procedure you want or you need, then that's very scary. And maybe you should attack. No, I didn't say that. But maybe, like, I can see why you'd want to bang on the glass, let's say. A 15-year-old is in critical condition after hitting his head while surfing on top of a New York City train. Police responded to the 111th Street station, blah, 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 found the teenager unconscious on top of the train. It's because train riding is becoming a new thing. I'm sure it's not a new thing, but there's been a story about it. Shocking new video posted to TikTok shows a group of people standing, walking, or even dancing atop moving subway trains as it crossed the Williamsburg Bridge.
These subway surfers took the video of themselves and posted it on TikTok, and now the NYPD is looking at them closely. News 4's Rana Novini on the Lower East Side now. Rana.
Yeah, and David, in that video, you clearly see that group of people standing on top of the subway as it traveled over the Williamsburg Bridge here behind me, a dangerous stunt that's now caught the attention of the NYPD.
Oh, let's see what the police want to say.
The video shared on TikTok showed over the Williamsburg for them.
No way.
What's your reaction to that?
Wow, they're just showing the guy in the street a video of the TikTokers.
Looking for them.
No way.
What's your reaction to this?
Crazy.
We showed the video to commuters who say while the video is alarming, it doesn't surprise them.
The other day when I was taking the train, I did hear the conductor say, get off the back of the platform. Young man in the back, get off the back.
People don't realize how dangerous that stuff can be. And, you know, there's this weird culture of, like, trying to, like, outdo people and do these outlandish things lately.
Police say the group was riding on top of a northbound J train Saturday evening as it came over the Williamsburg Bridge. And it's not the first time.
Well, it's one way to get a free ride on the subway, I guess. All right, this has been News with Nick. Head on over to the website, newswithnick.com. Thanks for coming to the show. What time is it? Oh, we did an hour-long show. That sounds good, minus the editing out part for the dead bird. And hopefully, I have nothing else to cover. Is there anything in the chat? My cat brings live birds back in the house sometimes. Yep, we had a live, chipmunk a few days ago, and then it got away. So it's somewhere in the house, or it ran out the door when the cat wasn't looking. Roofing contractors are trying to scam the insurance company, as the insurance will be forced to pay out no matter what the price. All right, guys, thanks for coming. It's been News with Nick, and see you next month, which is tomorrow, but maybe not tomorrow.